One, two, three. One, two. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now we got it. Tom's a good mechanic. Right, Tom, but sound guy, he probably couldn't see the mute button just like me. I was like, what am I looking at? So last night we were down at DJ's church, filled in for DJ preaching last night, and then which was great. So, but I'll tell you what, some people I guess really love going to church on Saturday night. I really love Sunday morning. I kept saying Sunday morning or this morning, but it was Saturday night, so it was just different, you know. You're so used to being at church on Sunday. But did anybody catch the debate this past week? I didn't watch the debates, and I caught portions. I just didn't watch it, but I was following up on stuff that was said. So we're kind of rolling into some jokes about debates this morning. So a pencil and a scissors are having a debate. Every time the pencil makes a good point, the scissors gets a little snippy. That was a debate one. So, and how do you win a debate with your wife? Young man, listen to this one, because this is the truth right here. How do you win a debate with your wife? What's that? You don't, exactly right. You don't win. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. So if you're smart, you don't win. A news journalist asked a fisherman how they debate. You know what the fisherman said? I take the worm off the hook. Debate. Okay, I take the bait. I debate my hook. All right, so that was that one. But this morning we're continuing down our series of Armor of God. Let's just open in prayer on that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can be here. Lord, as we continue to look at the armor of God, Lord, you tell us how important it is to put on that full armor. And Lord, as we studied this and I've looked at it and just really have jumped into things that I've never seen before on the armor of God, Lord, realize how much we really need this armor, and help us to continue to keep our minds around that as we study your word on the importance of putting ourselves under the authority of you, putting ourselves under having the Spirit work in us, and just concentrating on you and your word, and have that filter into our minds and our bodies, and it's for our protection, and help us to love you for giving us the opportunity for salvation to have this in our life. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, Ephesians 6:17. We're going to start actually before, and we're going to start in Ephesians 6:10, because I want to read the full armor of God as we've gone over this every week. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, last week I said that same thing. I was reading it. I said devil. And I even had my glasses on. Devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation, which we looked at last week, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we're going to look at today. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as we look at the Word of God, I mean, our whole instructions comes from the Word of God. Our salvation, which we have come to understand, comes from what we know out of this book of Scripture, from God's Word of who Jesus Christ was. All these things are stemming out of the Word of God, God's Word, the book that we call the Bible. And remember, as we stepped back and started to look at the armor of God, it was based on the spiritual realm. When we talked about Daniel and the angel was being blocked to get down to help Daniel, because the prince of Persia, the demonic realm and the heavenly realms, was blocking this angel to get to Daniel. And then we started to look at the armor of God, because those same things that happened at the time of Daniel are happening today. So where's our armor? And week one, we kind of looked at where Jesus was as the belt of truth, and then the breastplate of righteousness that we looked at, of standing on making right decisions and having that, and even looking at the righteous breastplate that goes back to Genesis, to the breastplate of decision that Aaron had to wear when he was making decisions. And the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and then today the word of God protects us against spiritual trickery, which we all see taking place. And I didn't want to go to some of this today, but we are, because it kind of rolls in. But believers, we need to know and understand God's word, which is the Bible. This is what we hit back with. It's the sword of the Spirit, God's word. Just like in any battle, right? In any battle, they train our military guys. Do they go into the military? And if we're in a battle, in a war, do they train them just how to slice potatoes? And Gil, were you a cook, Gil? Yeah. So Gil might have learned how to slice potatoes correctly. But sorry, I wasn't trying to pull you out on that. But if you're going into battle, you're not just learning how to slice potatoes. You're learning how to do what if you're going into battle. They give you a weapon, which is a rifle or a tank, or today what we know is we have the drones. And our military personnel, the people in battle, are taught on how to use the weapons. They're just not saying, here's this weapon. Go. They have to know how to break it down, know how to clean it, know how to load it, know how to put the thing back together, make sure the springs are right, make sure the screws are tight, because there's a lot of stuff that goes in, that could happen with a rifle that could break apart. But nonetheless, these guys are trained into how to use their weapon of choice. Weapon of choice in Paul's day was what? The sword. So they had the sword. We're told in our battle, because we know what, which we've talked about, our battle is not against flesh and blood, not against here, not against people, not against the flesh and blood. This is the battle that we're looking at in the spiritual realm, the spiritual realm. So our sword, our one mechanism of hitting back is this sword, this right here. This sword, and we see it throughout Scripture of when Jesus used it. So, Jesus used Scripture in response to the devil. In Matthew, you can look at this. We're not going to pull it out, but Matthew 4, verse 4 and verse 7, where he used Scripture against Satan when Satan was tempting him, when he was fasting. Jesus used Scripture against Satan. We see Jesus using Scripture, the Word of God, in response to Pharisees and even in response to his followers and the disciples. He used scripture. Anytime there is, a lot of times when there's conflict or just needed instruction, what was the sword that Jesus himself used was the word of God. He used the scriptures. He used the scriptures of the Old Testament and said, this is what is written. And he would quote and go back to scriptures. Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to pull this out real quick. Hebrews 4:12 talks about this of the word of God. The word of God is living and active. This is our Bible. This is the word of God. This is what we are called. This is what is put into our hand to fight the spiritual battles that we are in, just like Daniel was in, that we are in today. We can't forget these heavenly realms. That's where our battle is taking place. And so many times, I know me included, we leave our sword on the shelf. We don't pick up our sword. We don't memorize, and I hate to say this, but sometimes people have a great mind, and I try to memorize scripture, and I can try to get through songs, and some people can memorize scripture like it's nobody's business. And my mother-in-law can sit there and quote a whole book of scripture, and I'm just like, how in the world can she do that? And so for me, sometimes I'm like, what's that verse start with? You know, it's like, and I don't know if it's a mind block or whatever. I have stuff on my phone. I have notes. I have all sorts of stuff just to remember, like, what's going on. But, sorry, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God. You know, when you think about a sword, or you think about a knife. Remember when Jen and I were first married, we went to, not the home shows, but the sportsman show. We go to the sportsman show and we go to the shows out in Harrisburg. And have you ever been to those shows, the sportsman shows, all those shows? Okay. Do you ever see the guys there that are selling the knives? Do you ever see those guys? But they're cutting all this stuff with this knife. This is the best kitchen knife ever. I used to see it on TV, but wait, there's more. And you get like, you know, your knife and you get like this set of stuff. And then wait, what's behind curtain number three? And there's more knives. So, you know, I got suckered into it because I saw this guy sitting there with these knives and he was cutting like the kitchen knives, right? And it's like, all you needed to do is cut a slice of meat or something. Well, this guy's cutting like cinder blocks and bricks. And so I was like, I need that knife. And I was in my 20s. And you know, so now I'm not in my 20s anymore. I still have that knife, and now it has like knives. It has like burn marks on the handle or melted, like they melted from when you're cooking, you leave it on stuff. Still my favorite knife. Still cut, I can probably take that thing and I can still cut through a cinder block. But when you think, and we have more expensive knives, and these were like $19.99 with all the other gadgets that came along with it, but I still have this knife. And when I think of cutting between bone and marrow. When we talk about scripture, it cuts between, it's a dividing between soul and spirit. Think about that. We have a soul, we have our spirit, and oftentimes people say, well, what's that dividing line? Where is that? What's in your mind? What's in your soul? Where is that dividing line? And I think about those knives and how sharp they are or whatever they are. They're probably filled with like poisonous chemicals I've been using for the last 30 years. But so you think about how sharp these knives are and you think about the word of God that can make that dividing line between your soul and your spirit. The word of God, the sword, the word of God can cut like a two-edged sword, like a double-edged sword, and sharp. And so many times we as believers leave it on the shelf. We're filling our day, and I'm not saying, when I say we, I'll be the first one to step out and say, I'm preaching to myself like every time I talk. Okay? Because I do it all the time. I grab my phone, I grab my keys, I grab my pocket knife, my Bible sitting on my desk. Or, you know, I'm in a conversation and I talk to somebody about, they ask for guidance on something and I give them some worldly wisdom and then biblical wisdom comes out. It's like, why am I so slow sometimes on pulling out the Word of God? Because we're human. We forget about these battles in the heavenly realm. The Word of God, and I want to read this again. For the Word of God is living and active. Living and active. Today. In our today's world, sharper than any double-edged sword, even to dividing the soul and the spirit. Even to that extent, it can divide the soul and the spirit. To get down to what? To get down to the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Because we talk about our heart, we talk about our soul, it gets that dividing line, God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Once again, talks about God's word. All scripture is God-breathed and is used as useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How does this look sometimes? Today I came out a little bit different on where I wanted to go with this, because I think what Scripture talks about, we just read it, that Scripture is living and active. So many people think, well, that book's ancient. That book doesn't matter today. That book's just a history book. God's Word is, from what I see, is living and active. God's Word we can apply to every aspect of our life. And yes, there's a lot of history in here and a lot of documentation and a lot of things that people go back to archaeology to say, yeah, that really happened. And a lot of people just look at it as a historical document. It's living and active. So I wanted to pull that out on something that came up about this debate that took place this week. Something very current in our life. It came out last night. I just read the quote. So the Pope made a quote. This is what he said. And don't get me wrong here. I don't bash other denominations. I don't. And the Catholic Church is a Christian denomination. I'm not bashing them. I don't bash people for what they believe. Right. What I'm looking at is here, as the Pope, who's the leader of the Christian denomination as people look at it across the world, right? Because we know as Protestants, we came out of the Catholic Church. We know that the Catholic Church holds to Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, but this is what the Pope said. They weighed in on the debate, and people said, well, Pope, I don't know what they call him, Pope Francis, but they said, Pope. I don't mean any disrespect out of it. They asked him, Pope, who should the people in the United States vote for after watching this debate? Who should they vote for? Good question, right? Because there's a lot of people going back and forth on who to vote for. So this is what the Pope said. The Pope said, one must choose the lesser of two evils. Before that, he even said this. I'll start this. Asked by CBS News what the Pope would advise Catholic voters forced to choose between a candidate who backs abortion rights and one who said that he would have 11 million migrants deported, the Pope said they are both against life. So that's what the Pope said. They're both against life. The one who throws away migrants and the one who kills children. The Pope continued to say, one must choose the lesser of two evils, he said. Who is the lesser of two evils, the lady or the gentleman? I don't know. That's what the Pope said. I wanted to compare those two topics of what the Pope said with the Word of God, because he continued to say, Francis said immigration was a right that dates back to biblical times and noted that it was repeated in the Old Testament for the people of Israel, that the duty is to take care of the orphan, the widow, and the stranger, and that's the migrant. And you know what? Scripturally, the Pope is correct. That is in the Old Testament, correct? And then he continued to say this. Francis also said that the position that abortion, the position of Scripture and the Church is abortion is murder. And he said, whether you like the word or not, it's killing, it's murder, he said. It's an assassination on the child. And that's what he said. So biblically, we look at the word of God. Is that true? Yes, it's true. So I wanted to compare what scripture says in full force on both these topics, since we're at kind of splitting that dividing line, looking at this topic very clearly, because this book, this document, God's word is living and active for us as believers today. So, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Now, I wanted to remind us that, and this is what I kind of found interesting on this. Let me read this first. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right. But for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. If you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. I'll stop there. Scripture says, when we compare these two statements, that the authority and under the United States law, which we know is the Constitution, and then I'm not trying to make this political, I'm just hear me out on where I wanted to say the application of God's word is current as of today. We are under the authority of our Constitution, which puts men and laws in place. That's what we are under. Now, the Pope, he's not an American. You know, he's not under the Constitution. He's not under American law. He in fact is under, which I also find funny, that the Pope is criticizing getting rid of migrants out of our country and calls that we're disposing of human life, which is by far not what this country does. We all here came from where? Someplace else, right? To say that we're casting migrants out of our nation to me, is an insult to what our Constitution, what men have fought for in this country for and women for many years. We have laws. And our laws and the topics, the laws are we are supposed to follow the law. Now, is our political system broken when it comes to migrants and people trying to get into our country? Absolutely. But to call out a person to say we're throwing away 11 million people because as the United States country, we don't care about them, to me is disgusting because they're human life. And human life, as we know, is the creation of God himself. We are all created in God's image. And the Pope and the Catholic Church holds to that very firmly. But our laws say we are under the authority, Scripture says it, we are under the authority of the laws put into place. We have laws for immigration. Immigration law needs to be changed. We want people into our country. Immigration law would be now an immigrant who tries to get, and I know many people, I know people here illegally, I know people here legally, that have immigrated into our country. And the problem is the political structure when a migrant of someone that's trying to get into our country, they are confronted with so many costs, all this backlog of stuff that's piled upon these people to try to get into our country legally. And that structure right there needs to be cleaned up. So then we can have, we can have a line at the border and saying, we want you into our country. Come in freely. Come in legally. We do not want to deport you, but we want people into our country that we know who they are. And we can see, you know, we don't want the mass murder psychos. God loves them. Don't get me wrong, but should we let them do in our country? It's something to think about. So the Pope comes out with that statement, which I also find interesting because Vatican City is in the 20s became its own country. So where the Vatican sits around the wall is its own country. It's its own city state. Do they allow migrants? So we're getting lectured as a nation by the Pope, who lives in his own country, and they don't allow migrants in the Vatican City. I don't get the crossover there, right? Because we know as a country, we're all migrants here, and we want migrants into our country. All we're saying is, here's a legal process, but to say that we're throwing migrants and that we could get, you know, illegal people out of our country, that we do not care about them. As a church, I say, you know what? You are dead wrong because this country cares about people. We've spent a lot of money as a country to help people. And you know as well as me, if you're Democrat or Republican or independent, end of the day, remember 9/11, what happened? As a country, we came together. We helped people. It didn't matter what side of the aisle you were on. And that's, this is coming out from Scripture. Scripture tells us, and we're going to say what the, in Exodus. Exodus 22. We're comparing the statement of what our job is, as Christians, as believers. Exodus 22, verse 21. Do not mistreat an alien or oppress him, for you were aliens in Egypt, telling the Israelites when they were in Egypt. Do not mistreat an alien or oppress them. We don't want to oppress an alien. Or I believe our political system with the policies they have is an oppression to people to try to get into our country legally. Exodus 23, verse 9, and this is going just back to Old Testament law. Do not, and once again, I'm going kind of hard in the political scene, but I'm just pulling out The Word of God, remember, the Word of God, the sword of the sword here in modern day. This week. So, Exodus 23:9. Do not oppress an alien. You yourselves know how it feels to be an alien because you were aliens in Egypt. We're not to oppress people. God loves people. Now, on the flip side of that, which I found interesting, that Vatican City doesn't have or allow, unless they have the Pope's permission, to live within their own country. But yet we're getting lectured as a nation that we're casting people out. Now, so if we go by the statement then, and we look at abortion, we look at the murder of children. So once again, the Pope, I say, was correct. He's using scripture correctly that we're not supposed to oppress people. But he left out one key detail about following our laws, which we see in Rome, Romans 1 that we looked at. Then we look at the next statement that he said, and we looked at putting it on scripture, putting it right at scripture about abortion, because he said it's an abortion, murdering a child is an assassination. And it's something that he said the church is clear on, and he's absolutely right. And once again, we're going to pull it out right in Exodus, right again, right from the Word of God. Exodus 21. We're going to start with this one. Exodus 21, verse 21, 22 to 25. If men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman, okay, because remember, so, which we know the topics today that they divine that fine line, right? They people have been able to split and say a fetus and a baby. And our mindset today, which many people and the younger generations some of them don't even understand that a fetus is actually a baby. They don't get it. Because all they hear is fetus, 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 and they don't hear that it's a baby in the womb. So I wanted to start with this because it talks about pregnancy, a pregnant woman. If men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the court allows, whatever the husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. A pregnant woman. So under modern medical terms, a pregnant woman would be carrying a fetus, which we know is a baby. Scripture says, which the Pope was correct, that it's life. It's life. And we see that we can keep going through scripture about that, but life. And so we're looking at two decisions. And then you talk about bloodshed. So if we look about life and we look about what the topic at hand is based on a Christian decision, or what we may think about, and you think about then bloodshed, because scripture also talks about murder and it talks about killing. And there's another dividing line that can happen. So bloodshed can be looked at as murder or killing. Killing is looked at as this. Now, is scripture against all killing? Obviously, God does not want people to die, bloodshed, but we know there's a punishment for consequences. And then if we look at this, we can look at this in two ways. Exodus 21, verse 12, I'm going to read through 14. If anyone strikes a man and kills him, surely shall surely be put to death. However, if he does not do it intentionally, but God lets it happen, he is to flee to a place. This is when we had these sanctuary cities, these cities that you could run to for a trial. I will designate a city, a place that I will designate. But if a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him to death. That's what scripture says. So I see what is happening here. Sometimes I don't think we can take scripture and we go one side, two side, and you play the social card of what's the political feel good scenario to play both sides of the aisle. I think scripture is very clear on this topic, on both these topics. I don't think we can play the feel good card. Because I think number one is yes, we want migrants into our country. We want to have people to come in and love our society. And as a church, we really want them to come in because they might be coming from an unknown location of different religion or atheism or wherever that they don't know Christ. And it gives what? It gives us as the believer the opportunity to show our good works and step into their life, and as churches, help people and pull them in and help people and show God's love to people, to the widows, to orphans, to migrants, to aliens, to help them. That's our job. So we want people into our country, and yet we don't, at the same time, we don't want murders. We do not want the bloodshed that takes place. Exodus 22. Verse 2, and I'm going to end with this, because we talked about this topic of killing. Once again, this is the Word of God looking at these topics in modern technology time in our society. And we looked at the difference of the migrants, and we're looking at the difference of life. And Scripture is clear, and once again, so right here in Exodus 22, 2. If a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he is guilty of bloodshed. So Scripture is very clear on murder, on killing accidentally, or defending your homeland, defending your home, your property. Obviously, we don't want to kill anybody, but unfortunately, sometimes bad people do some stupid things, and there's a consequence for that. Scripture, the Word of God, if we have the full armor of God on in our lives, God's Word is living and active and applies to all the things that we're doing today. And all the things in modern society, we just see it. We see it right here. Not to pull out the, I can get really upset when it comes to some of the political stuff taking place. But I pray for our nation. I pray for believers. Why? Because as believers, we need to put this full armor on. We see the battle, not against the flesh and blood, but against in the heavenly realms, that some of us have seen many, many more years than me. Right, Ford? You've watched it how many years? And you see it taking place, and you've been throughout your lifetime, have watched the good, and I'm going to go to a movie, the good, bad, and the ugly. You've seen it all. The Bible, the Word of God, is still current in our society today. The Bible will be current when I'm dead and gone. Because it's God's Word. It's living and active. It's living and active. And that's what we need to remember. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word, Lord. I know that your Word is living and active, and it's sharp, and it can really hone in to to our hearts. It boils right down to our heart. What's the heart problem, Lord? Help us to take your word, understand it, understand how it was then, and understand it today in our principles today, in the world we live in the life that we are living now. And help us to really understand how to apply your word into our modern society. To walk the course that you want us to walk. And with that, Lord, when we look at things and compare things and we hear what people are saying back and forth, help us to compare a biblical worldview and put a light of what the Bible says onto those topics. Help us to live those topics. Help us not to judge people that don't see what we see, but help us, as you tell us in your word, that we're supposed to teach them and train them in your word and what the Bible tells us in society and in our life and how we get salvation and how we are to treat others and how we should be living and not living. Lord, help us to remember that our battle, the battle that we're in, is taking place in these heavenly realms. That humanity here on earth with us, we're humans, but that battle is taking place way above our level. Help us to remember that and give us that insight to reach people with those things, especially the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.